Sabbath blessing, and welcome to all the precious family that are joining us in the room, for those that will be listening on the phone, and also later on the recorded and on the radio. Sabbath blessing, everyone, on this blessed Sabbath, January 14, 2017. This is lesson 213, chapter 45, entitled The Foreshadowing of the Cross, part 5. Our opening scripture song is taken from the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verses 11, 13 through 14. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Seek peace and pursue it. Psalms 34:11, 13, and 14. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Seek peace and pursue it. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Amen. If any one of the little ones, mommies and daddies, would like to be able to have opening prayer, bubble up.
If we go and kneel and bow our heads within our hearts. Our Father, we thank you for this ability to have this blessed day. We thank you for this ability to wake us up this morning. We thank you for this ability to have this blessed day. We thank you for this ability to have another blessed day. Let us be able to keep blessed that we learn in our hearts and our minds. Forgive us all for us if we don't anything on your sight. I pray that you may be able to help strengthen us in case if we have trouble with both in any of our days. Let us keep on showing mercy and compassion to one another. Let us be able to also keep in mind and also keep in mind also the lessons that we learned that we may not be able to forget. I also pray that we may be able to be with our brethren who are on the other parts of the earth. Let us be able to be safe from any temptations that the devil might use against us. And also, we pray that you may humble our hearts that we may be able to completely serve and open our eyes to the real world of our sins of the Lord. This is my friend, this person. Amen.
Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. Our opening scripture is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 24, from the King James Version, and it reads, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. This Sabbath, boys and girls, mommies and daddies, we will end with part 5 of our lesson entitled The Foreshadowing of the Cross in our study book, Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear family would like to take the following verses, bubble up.
Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said unto And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Amen.
Have a blessing, everyone. Matthew 16:26. What is a man that profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angel, and then he shall reward every man according to his work.
Matthew 16:28. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those kings which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good job, everyone. Today, dear ones, we will be covering pages 416 through 408. If anyone of the dear family would like to take the first paragraph.
Desire of Ages, page 416. Jesus now explained to his disciples that his own life of self-abnegation was an example of what theirs should be. Calling about him with the disciples, the people who had been lingering near, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The cross was associated with the power of Rome. It was the instrument of the most cruel and humiliating form of death. And the side it says, then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16:24. Next slide, please. Desire of Ages, page 416. The lowest criminals were required to bear the cross to the place of execution, and often as it was about to be laid upon their shoulders, they resisted with desperate violence until they were overpowered and the instrument of torture was bound upon them. But Jesus bade his followers take up the cross and bear it after him. To the disciples, his words, though dimly comprehended, pointed to their submission to the most bitter humiliation, submission even unto death for the sake of Christ. Amen.
Continuing to read it, Desire Ages, page 416. Continuing, no more complete self-surrender could this Savior world have pictured. But all this he had accepted for that. Jesus did not count in heaven a place to be desired while we were lost. He left the heavenly court for a life of reproach and insult and a death of shame. Have mercy, Lord. And he who was rich in heaven, priceless treasure, became poor that through his poverty we might be rich. We are to follow in his path he wrought. Desire Ages, 416, paragraph 3.
Have mercy indeed, my sister. I stand and agree with you. Question, boys and girls, mommies and daddies. What did the Savior say after calling about him with the disciples, the people who had been lingering near? And what did the cross stand for and associate it with? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, bubble up.
He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take upon his cross daily and follow me. And the cross was
associated
with the power of Rome. It was the instru-
instrument
of the most crucial,
cruel
and humiliating form of death.
Amen. Good job, dear Sister Janelle. Let's learn our first scripture song together, dear ones. And this one is taken from the book of Luke. And it has a margin. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 25 from the King James Version. And he said to them all,
"If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me, and follow me."
Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. We are in Desire of Ages, page 417.
And continuing the reading, Desire of Ages, page 417. Love for souls for whom Christ died means crucifixion of self. He who is a child of God should henceforth look upon himself as a link in the chain let down to save the world, one with Christ in his plan of mercy, going forth with him to seek and save the lost. The Christian is ever to realize that he is consecrated himself to God, and that in character he is to reveal Christ to the world. The self-sacrifice, the sympathy, the love manifested in the life of Christ are to reappear in the life of the worker of God. In Desire of Ages, page 417, paragraph 1. And on the slide it says, "Dear Lord, please make your living word become flesh in me so I can reveal you to the..."
Amen. Question, boys and girls, mommies and daddies. What does the crucifixion of self mean, and what is the Christian ever to realize and reveal to the world? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, blah-blah-blah.
The answer is for love for souls for whom Christ died. For he who was a child of God should henceforth look upon himself as a link in the chain let down to save the world. One with Christ in his plan of mercy, seek and save the lost. And he has consecrated himself to God and character he is to reveal Christ to the world.
Whoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. Selfishness is death. Amen. I'll read that again. Selfishness is death. No organ of the body could live should it confine its service to itself. The heart failing to send its lifeblood to the hand and the head would quickly lose its power. And on the slide here, it says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose it his life for my sake shall find it." And that was Matthew 16, verse 25. And it also tells you selfishness, and it's a noun, and it has two meanings here. It says, one is devoted to caring only for oneself, concerned primarily with one's own interests, benefits, welfare, etc., regardless of others, and two is characterized by or manifesting concern or care for oneself, selfish motives. And on the slide, it shows a picture of a human body, the anatomy, and it says, vein, heart, and an artery, and that's to show that everything all works together for the good of the whole entire body. Although they're separate, they all work together in unity. And continue on the next slide, please. And continuing, as our life flood, so is the love of Christ diffused through every part of his mystical body. We are members one of another, and the soul that refuses to impart will perish. And what is a man profited, said Jesus, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Desire of Ages, page 417, paragraph 2, and on the slide, it says here, we are the body of Christ. And then it says their quote from Romans 12, verse 5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. And also there's another slide from Mark chapter 8, verse 36, King James Version, and it says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the world and lose his soul? Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear Sister Cece. Question, boys and girls, mommies and daddies. Why is selfishness death? And what example do we have in our body that proves this important truth designed by our Creator? And what is as our lifeblood diffused through every part of our Savior mystical body? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, blah, blah.
No organ of the body could live should it confine its service to itself. The heart, failing to send its lifeblood to the hand and the head, would quickly lose its power and is the love of Christ. Amen.
Were they not to see their Lord exalted to the throne of David? Could it be that Christ was to live a humble, homeless wanderer? To be despised, rejected, and put to death? Sadness oppressed their hearts, for they loved their master. Doubt also harassed their minds, for it seemed incomprehensible that the Son of God should be subjected to such cruel humiliation. Continuing on the next slide. Continuing, they questioned why they should voluntarily go to Jerusalem to meet the treatment which he had told them he was there to receive. How could he resign himself to such a fate and leave them in a greater darkness than that in which they were groping before he revealed himself to them? Desire of Ages, page 417, paragraph 3. Amen.
Amen. Question, boys and girls, and mommies and daddies, what did the Savior do to lift the disciples beyond the poverty and humiliation of the present, and what did he say to them for their encouragement? And why did his glory seem far away? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, blah, blah, blah.
He pointed the disciples to his coming in glory, not in the splendor of an early earthly throne, but with the glory of God and the hosts of heaven, and their eyes were fixed upon the nearer view, the earthly life of poverty, humiliation, and suffering.
Desire Pages, page 418. In the region of Caesarea Philippi, Christ was out of the reach of Herod and Caiaphas, the disciples reasoned. He had nothing to fear from the hatred of the Jews or from the power of the Romans. Why not work there at a distance from the Pharisees? Why need he give himself up to death? If he was to die, how was it that his kingdom was to be established so firmly that the gates of hell should not prevail against it? To the disciples, this was indeed a mystery.
Well done, everyone. Praise the Lord. Question, boys and girls. What did the disciple reason about Christ being out of the reach of Herod and Caiaphas? in what was to them a mystery indeed. If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, babala.
He had nothing to fear from the hatred of the Jews or from the power of the Romans, and if their Savior was to die, how was it that his kingdom was to be established so firmly that the gates of hell should not prevail against it?
They were even now journeying along the shores of the Sea of Galilee toward the city where all their hopes were to be crushed. They dared not remonstrate with Christ, but they talked together in low, sorrowful tones in regard to what the future would be. Even amid their questionings, they clung to the thought that some unforeseen circumstance might avert the doom which seemed to await their Lord. Thus they sorrowed and doubted, hoped and feared for six gloomy, long gloomy days. Desire of Ages, page 418, paragraph 2.
Amen. This is our last question, dear ones. Why was the disciples' journey along the shore of the Sea of Galilee towards the city so solemn? And what were the disciples hoping for in sorrowful tones in regard to what the future will be? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, babala.
They arrived here, all their hopes were to be crushed, and amid their questioning, they clung to the thought that some unforeseen circumstance might avert the doom.
Amen. So let's learn our last beautiful scripture song together, dear ones. And this one is taken from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 through 34 and 36.
Oh, the depth of the riches, of all the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? For of him and through him and to him all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, dear ones, we have come to the ending of the first section of our Children's Sabbath School lesson, and this is the section where we ask all the precious little one to come very close, because it's story time, and our dear brother Graves will be the one to narrate it.
Good morning, boys and girls. Let me go back here and make sure. Yep, mic's ringing. It's story time. Jesus is 12 years old, and he just went up to the temple. And starts out, he submitted to parental authority. And he went, Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Let me see. Luke 2:51. In other words, he obeys earthly mother, mama, and me. That is a good way to prepare to obey our heavenly father. Jesus claimed his sonship to the eternal. Jesus knew and said that he was God's son. His first visit to the temple had awakened new impulses. When Jesus went to the temple at 12 years old and saw the sacrificing of lambs, he recognized that the lamb represented him and his mission here on earth. You know, that's quite a revelation for him to understand at 12 years old what his life work was to be on earth. All earth's obligations. Now that's a big word for little people. Obligations means things that you're supposed to do, like staying with your folks. All earthly obligations were for a time lost sight of, but with the knowledge of his divine mission and of his union with God, he did not resist the authority of his parents. Jesus realized that he was God's son, and he had come to our world to die for us, but he still was an obedient son to Mary and Joseph. At their request, he returned with them as a faithful, obedient son and aided them in their life of toil. Jesus worked to help put bread and tortillas on the table. He buried in his own heart the secret of his future mission. In other words, he didn't want to tell everybody who he was and what his plans were. He was waiting submissively, that means patiently, until the period of his public ministry should commence or begin, before announcing to the world that he was the Messiah. He submitted to parental restraint, or he obeyed Mary and Joseph. For the period of 18 years after he had knowledge that he was the Son of God, and living the simple, common life of a Galilean or a country boy, working at the carpenter's bench or trade. For 30 years, he submitted to parental restraint. Jesus' life work didn't start until he was 30 years old. It is common for children, even of Christian parents, when not over 12 years old, to feel that they must be allowed to have their own desires. And parents are ready to be led by their children rather than to lead them. For this reason, many youth come up with habits of selfishness and idleness. They want their own way, like their friends. All they want to do is play video games and eat and sleep when they want to. They are vain, proud, and headstrong. Headstrong means they want their own way. Headstrong children don't love Jesus. They love themselves. And that's sad. When we look upon his parents' self-denial, he's shrinking from all notoriety. In other words, he didn't boast that he was the Son of God, devoting himself to his daily labor in a humble sphere. That means he worked as a carpenter in the carpenter shop, and that's a lowly job. You're not famous if you're a carpenter. What a beautiful light it shed upon his life. We can't all be doctors and lawyers and preachers, but we can all do our little part. How clear the path in which children and youth should walk. We are shown by Jesus' life that we can be God's children no matter what we do in life. Jesus was no less the Son of God in his lowly home, in his submission to his parents, even though Jesus was the creator of this world and everybody in it, he obeyed Mary and Joseph as his earthly parents. Then when God spoke from his eternal throne saying, "This is my beloved Son," and that happened several times throughout Jesus' earthly life. The life of Christ assures a blessing forever upon a life of cheerful submission to parental restraint and a life of physical and mental industry or work. Sons and Daughters of God, page 129. And again, our verse says, "And Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them," Luke 2:51. In other words, he obeyed his mama and daddy. And thank you for listening.
Dear ones, our dear brother Dick have a wonderful song to be able to share with the little ones and family. This song has been a song that personally I was looking for, and it so happened that the Lord just blessed us with brother Dick and Sister Elaine to send it.
Shared with the doctors, they were so amazed. Never had they seen one so young speak so swift. They asked him many questions, conversation went like this.
"What's your name, son?"
"On my mother's side, my name is Jesus. But on my father's side, Emmanuel.
How old are you?
On my mother's side. Now I'm 12 years, but on my father's side, I've just always been.
Where are you from?
On my mother's side. I'm from Bethlehem, but on my father's side, it's New Jerusalem.
What's your plan?
On my mother's side, I'll be crucified, but on my father's side, in 3 days I'll arise, and I'll sit at my father's side. Son of God, yes, the Son of Man, and I can't help but wonder how Joseph must have felt. Through an open door that day, he heard his son recite. He said, you see, I'm the King of Kings that's on my father's side.
What's your name, son?
On my mother's side, my name is Jesus, but on my father's side, they call me Emmanuel. On my mother's side, now I'm 12 years, but on my father's side, I've just always been. On my mother's side, I'm from Bethlehem, but on my father's side, it's New Jerusalem.
What's your plan?
On my mother's side, I'll be crucified, but on my father's side, in 3 days I'll arrive. At my father's side.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Deacon, Sister Elaine, thank you so much for bringing back so much wonderful memory. And if any one of the dear brethren would like to have a copy, Sister Elaine had just placed the information. But if you need it in an MP3 player, you can just drop me an email and I will send it to you as well. So dear one, we have come to the end of our Children's Sabbath School lesson. So next week, we will begin a new chapter of our lesson entitled, He Was Transfigured, in our study book, Desire of Ages. If any one of the little ones, Mommy and Daddy, would like to have closing prayer, bubble up.
Our Father, who art in heaven, I shall be in heaven. Our kingdom come, will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, of our debts, if I give in heaven
our
dead hearts. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Forever and ever. Amen. God bless you, dear baby Ethan. And we want to thank all the precious family for joining and reading. Dear ones, so next Sabbath, chapter 46, He Was Transfigured, and that will be held January 21st, 2017. We have also prepared activity for the whole family to enjoy, and may they continue the dialogue on this beautiful topic. Something as wonderful that we will not be able to comprehend, it will take the whole eternity to understand the love that our Father has by giving His Son
for all of us, that we can prepare ourselves and one day stand before our holy God blameless. That is something that I can't wait to sit at the feet of Jesus and be able to enjoy the plan of redemption. Have a blessed and peaceful Sabbath, everyone. God bless.